Hello, and you're going to be listening to the very first episode of Tooncast, where myself, Mike TFG1, Kevin, Todd, and Dion talk about the Nintendo cartoons, Super Mario Bros. 3, Super Mario Bros. Super Show, The Legend of Zelda, stuff like that. This is the very first episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. Please visit geekcastradio.com. I'd just like to preface the episode with this little clip because in the midst of recording the episode, the call recorder software that I had was in the freeware mode, and it only allows you to call or to record every 15 minutes. I had bought the license, but apparently when I updated the software, it went back to freeware mode. Stupid freaking software. Anyway, please enjoy Tooncast, Episode 1, recorded June 5th, 2009.
Hey, paisanos! It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
We're the Mario Brothers, and plumbing's our game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. Yo, you're in for a treat, so hang on to your seat. Get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the bridge.
Wizard Ganon has the Triforce of Power. Whoever gets both Triforces will rule this land forever. You must help me, Link.
Hey, for you, Zelda, anything.
It is a legend no one will forget. Everyone thought King Koopa had left the Mushroom Kingdom. And then his doom ship attacked. King Koopa was back with the greatest danger ever known, his Koopa kids. Using their new superpowers, the Super Mario Brothers rescued Princess Toadstool and beat back the evil Koopa family.
Welcome to Video Land.
Mega High!
Wake up, Kid Icarus!
Welcome to Castle Deep!
It's Kongo Land!
My brain will catch you, little princess!
Princess, the palace is under siege!
Behold, the ultimate warp zone!
Clean up your room.
Super Mario World.
Super Mario World. It's a blast from the past. It's Super Mario World. You got to move fast. Mario and Luigi are doing what they can. Yoshi and the princess are giving them a hand.
Super Mario World.
Super Mario World. It's a blast from the past.
To episode 1 of Tooncast. This is Mike TFG1 Blanchard from the Geekcast Radio Network,
and the TFG1 podcast. I am joined tonight by Kevin, Todd, and Dion. We are here to talk about the Nintendo cartoons. Hello, guys. How are you?
Good, good.
Hey.
Rock on.
Rock on. And as it was stated in episode zero, Tooncast is basically something that came up a while ago from a friend of mine out of a This Week in Geek podcast episode about the Disney Afternoon. And we're going to be covering all kinds of from 50s to 90s cartoons. And today we're talking about all of the Nintendo cartoons. That's right, Super Mario Brothers, Super Show, Super Mario Brothers 3, Zelda, Captain N, Super Mario World, and whatever else. So I think we're going to start with Super Mario Brothers Super Show. I remember watching this, but I don't have the DVDs right now, so I'm pretty much going to use you guys to kind of refresh my memory. I did find a couple of episodes about it on YouTube, but I really couldn't get past Captain Lou's voice for Mario because I'm so used to Walker Boone doing it. And I will probably cut in every now and then with some information from Wiki that I've collected. I really don't remember much about this other than some of the live-action stuff.
Well, I think that was probably the most memorable part of it, at least for me. I don't remember looking back and actually remembering the cartoon parts of the show, but I remember skit after skit after skit that they did with that live-action show with, you know, Captain Lou Albano bringing in people like Sergeant Slaughter, and yeah, I mean, there was just a whole range of people, and I remember that more than I remember the cartoon, actually.
Yeah, when I was watching the thing on YouTube last night, it was like the first episode. And when it got to the cartoon, it was pretty much all Super Mario Bros. 2 villains. It had nothing to do with pretty much the original game other than the actual characters. Because Toad is already in the show in the very first episode, so it pretty much took off with Super Mario Bros. 2. And there is a glitch in that opening animation. When Mario goes to touch the star, he turns into Fire Mario. He does not turn into Invincible Mario.
I did not catch that.
Yes. He only shows up as red and white. He does not show up as multicolor.
Huh.
Let's see. Where are we going to go from here on this?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that when this show actually, before it aired, Regis Philbin and a bunch of other people had actually asked Captain Lou to do this spot, and he did not. He at first turned it down.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted nothing to do with this show because obviously Captain Lou Albano was a wrestler. And, you know, people had told him, you know, wrestlers can't act. They don't act. You know, they just... You know, I mean, they do for wrestling, but that's an entirely different thing.
Right.
And, you know, he said in the in an interview that I saw on the actual DVD set, he said that he'd broken his back twice and, you know, he'd had several, you know, surgeries. And he said, you know what, I got to quit. I got to quit. I'm getting old. I can't do this anymore. So that's actually when the Super Mario Brothers Super Show came calling for him. And at first, you know, he did not want to do it. He wanted nothing to do with it. And then I guess he met Danny Wells, who was the voice of Luigi, and they, you know, they did 52 live-action skits, but on the DVD set, you only see 48 of them. There are actually some that you do not see. I don't know if we'll ever see those, but there are some you just don't see, and those there are, I believe, four of them. But, you know, for me, I did catch that glitch, and I actually thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That they did not fix that. But, yeah, Captain Lou Albano and Danny Wells, I thought, in my personal opinion, were pretty good actors in the live-action scenes as well as the cartoons. They were actually going to do another super show in 1990, but Deke at the last minute decided to scrap all the plans for it.
I'd have to agree with you that I thought their acting in those opening sequences was one of the highlights of the show. I'm surprised at that. I didn't know that about Captain Lou Albano. I'm surprised that it took some convincing because he was only 2 years removed from another cartoon series, Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling, which he appeared in from 1985 to 1987. So I'm surprised
right.
that It took took some convincing for him to get involved with another one.
Well, he didn't want to do any more voice acting. He thought that was enough. He thought that was plenty. I mean, he was a wrestler. Yeah. He wanted to stick with wrestling stuff, not, you know, Nintendo stuff. But, you know, look at where it's taken off now. Everybody recognizes him for it.
I'm glad he did.
I actually have a question for you, Dion. You'd mentioned that there are some live-action skits that are not there.
There were 48. There's 52 in all total.
Right, but the other ones that aren't on those sets, could they be the ones that are on the Legend of Zelda set? Because I'm looking at the back of the Zelda box, and it says, selected original live-action segments from the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
So, yes, those are the extra, let's see, 9, 51, 2, 4. Those are the extra four that were cut.
Oh, okay.
When it aired originally, they were all there.
Yeah, it was Monday through Thursday.
It was Monday through Thursday was the Mario section, and Fridays were dedicated to the Zelda. But they still did opening sequences.
They did the live-action sequences, though.
Right.
For the Zelda 2.
Right, yeah. Like I said, I really don't... I more know about the Mario 3 show than the original show. And
I've got an honest question.
Yes.
The voice of King Koopa, who is played by Harvey Atkin, and he does also some other voices in that show.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of Koopa, my question is, how in the world did that not hurt his throat? Because that was always a growling, gravelly, rough voice. For Koopa, that's what that role portrayed. And I'm thinking, dude, did you have some lozenges after each session?
The art of voice acting.
It probably did hurt his throat because I just watched, and this is totally off topic, I just watched the 2004 voice panel for Peter Cullen at BotCon for 2004, and he said when you do voices in that deep gravelly, it does. It will put
it
a strain on
your
voice.
Vocal cords.
Yep.
Yeah, there are a few tricks and stuff that you can do beforehand to kind of help it out, but there's no way around it. If you're doing it enough, it's gonna hurt you a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just got a question just for Dion or for you. You said you didn't really remember. Dion, did you remember watching this when it was originally airing?
The Super Mario Super Show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, yes.
Okay,
I used to come home and tape it off of the Family Channel, for God's
okay.
sake.
Okay, well, I'm trying to figure out if this just happened in the local network that I was watching on, or if this happened all over the place. Do you remember them during those live action sequences having any type of like call-in contest where you could call a number and you could win something? I remember specifically
Nintendo did get into a few promotions of that, yes, and I actually I actually did get into one of those contests. I didn't
because I remember just sitting there one day and just me and my friend just calling the number over and over and over again. You had to be like the
it,
that.
It was a real trip to get in because I mean sometimes they wanted the 100th caller, they wanted the 200th call, and it was hard. I mean, yeah. I would basically have my finger on the redial button.
I remember doing that. I remember never winning anything. I don't even remember what the prizes were, but I just remember
some of
dialing
them were
numbers.
Nintendo products. You actually got an actual Nintendo set.
I thought so. I thought so.
You got Nintendo sets. You got Nintendo games.
I'm sure they threw in a free subscription to Nintendo Power.
Nintendo Power.
Oh God, yes. Yeah. Nintendo Power was given out just about every other month.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Dion, for making sure that I'm not crazy. Yes. I knew I remembered something like that.
Well, you mentioned a local network. Now, I'm just going to throw this in there. But there was a show on a local network in L.A. called King Koopa's Cool Cartoons.
God.
And it was basically someone dressed up in a King Koopa outfit.
Oh, God.
And they had different Nintendo cartoons. I think Mario was featured. I don't remember now. I'd actually have to go and pull the article again, but that was, you know, in the late 90s. Well, I'd say about 93 to 94, but it was Fox. It was the Fox network in LA.
Does anybody remember Club Mario? 'Cause I don't.
Yes.
Oh God. Yes.
Yes, oh. I do very, very vaguely, but I do remember it.
I remember it, and it was just the same as Super Mario All-Stars would be years later.
Okay. One of the things that really made me mad, I did actually watch the show for the cartoon. I didn't watch it for the live action because I was a kid. I wanted to watch the cartoons.
I just love seeing Mario as a real person. That's the reason I like the live action.
I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was kind of cool when they would break scenes. You'd see this big Mario head on screen.
I got so pissed after Friday afternoon, Monday afternoon. I'm like, wait, where's Zelda? Where'd Zelda go? What the hell? Once a week, my ass, bastard.
And I've heard different reviews. A lot of people are saying that Zelda was the better part of that tandem, but I've had just as many reviews that I've read that said Zelda was horrible compared to the Super Mario Brothers shows, but I don't know where I sit on that argument.
I just watched all three discs of the series today.
Zelda?
Yes. I just finished watching Zelda probably 5 hours ago. It's better than I thought it was going to be. I guess that's because I'm a fan of the Nintendo shows, and I usually when I'm a fan of something, I don't look to the negative. I sometimes very rarely end up being subjective or objective.
I will say this right now, rest in peace, Lynn Carlson.
Yeah.
He was the voice of Ganon.
Yep.
And
he was the voice of several other people in Zelda as well.
Yeah, he was the voice of a couple of the Moblins.
Yep.
But he was, I mean, the main villain was Ganon, and he did a very good job with that voice, I thought. And he died of a heart attack.
That's another voice that goes high and low and gravelly. Because I was just watching it.
So were the Moblins.
Well, true, but I mean, the Moblin voice was pretty much a straight-out gravelly voice. It wasn't really high or low, fading in and out, but Ganon's was
pretty high, low, and you know every now and then it would kind of start really low and then raise.
Exactly.
So,
Mike, you mentioned looking forward to the Friday show. If I remember right, I might be wrong on this one, but did they all have some type of previews though for that Friday show during the week of the Mario shows?
Yes, they did.
And that could have led kind of to some more anticipation buildup for the Zelda portion of the two rather than the Super Mario part.
Actually, what it was I think if I remember this correctly, it's not in the information I have. I think it was every Thursday they would do a coming up next on the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. And because it wasn't a Mario cartoon on Fridays, it was Zelda. They would show a mini preview on Thursday afternoons for the Friday show.
Right.
So yeah, it was there. I pretty much like all the cartoons. I mean, I haven't watched enough of Super Mario Brothers Super Show, the actual cartoon, to make an opinion either way. But as far as like Zelda and Mario 3 and the three seasons of Captain N and the Super Mario World, I liked them all. I actually have a photo album, like a scrapbook thing. I actually got away back in 89, 90, whenever it was in syndication, to get my mom to take a picture of the TV with the Captain N and Super Mario World logos on them.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, we do. I don't know if we mentioned that, but because we might have been talking about it before we started, but we were starting in 1989 here with the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yes, Super Mario Brothers Super Show and Zelda. Actually, probably most of them, I think other than Mario 3, started in 89. I can't be for sure.
Mario 3 is in 90.
90, yeah.
And then obviously Mario World's a little bit after that, but all the other ones are in 1989, so
yeah.
It's a little time frame.
Yeah, I mean, even though these shows only, like Captain N only lasted, three seasons, Zelda only lasted one.
All the other ones were about 13 episodes long.
Yeah, I mean, they had a good longevity. I mean, you think about all the Nintendo characters that were put into some of these, especially when we get to Captain N a little bit later. You think of all the Nintendo characters and worlds and All right. So Zelda. What the hell was I saying? Crap, I don't remember.
The longevity of the cartoon.
Oh yeah, the longevity of the cartoon. Even though it was only from pretty much 89 to 91 for most of them, or 92 or 93, it seemed like it was that they were on for a very long time.
Well, and that was definitely what the if you being the historian here, cartoons at that point did take a major shift in about 1989, 1990. This was the video game era for those 2-3 years that hadn't been present before. The last time we had saw video games and cartoons actually had been back in 1983 with the Saturday Supercade, which had, you know, your Donkey Kongs and your Frogger, Q-Bert, Pitfall, stuff like that. And after that, it had been, you know, 6 years since we'd had a lot of video game cartoons. 89, 90, we have this slew of 5 or 6 Nintendo shows, and then after that, it kind of fades away. So this is pretty much your 2-3 years of, you know, big time video games and cartoons. This was their time.
Yeah, it was. Let's see, where are we gonna go from here?
Well, let me jump back into 86 real quick, because there was actually a Super Mario Japan cartoon, and I've actually, you know, seen it on YouTube with English translations. Someone's read me the English translations, but, you know, that's actually how, you know, Mario was first really animated before the Super Mario Super Show came along.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't count the Mario that was in Donkey Kong back in
83. No, I'm not counting him. I'm just counting the one from 86.
Yeah.
It is Super Mario Brothers Super Show and Zelda both are on DVD. Zelda is in a 3-disc complete series set, and Mario Super Mario Super Show is 2 DVD volumes. They are available now.
From our best friends at Shout.
Yes, Shout Factory.
Thank God.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, every show that we talk about today is available through Shout, I believe.
Yep, they all are.
Yes, they are.
So.
Yes, every last one. The one thing that really made me mad was some of the music changes, and we'll get into that in a few minutes when we start talking about Super Mario Brothers 3, because I just finished watching that yesterday. Like I said before with Zelda, the common running joke in the series was Link's repeated failure to convince Zelda that he deserved a kiss for his heroic deeds. Whenever it seemed that they were going to kiss, something always happened. Yes.
And if you don't believe us, just head over to YouTube and type in Zelda and the words "Excuse me, princess," and you can watch about 10 minutes of one line being repeated over and over and over again.
Well, they said that was from a comedic type deal. I don't remember where, but it was supposed to be a running gag on a comedian.
Yeah, I read something about that too, but the YouTube video, it's hilarious until you're ready to poke your own eyes out. And
The series Zelda was actually supposed to be continued, but was canceled along with Super Mario Bros. Super Show. The series is one of only 4 productions in which Link talks, the others being the CDI games, manga series, and the comic series.
Oh, the CDI game.
The two main games that it pulled references.
The Mario CDI.
Yes. The two main.
Lots of spaghetti.
Nothing can be worse than Paper Mario.
Oh.
So anyway, the two main games that the series Zelda took references from was the original Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2: The Adventure of Link. For example, Ganon is often seen riding a loader. An insect-like beetle seen in Zelda 2, but not The Legend of Zelda. The other thing about Super Mario Bros. Super Show is it put in both of the original games, even though I didn't see that much of the original Super Mario Bros. Game in it. I saw more of Super Mario 2.
Yeah.
Wart, the main antagonist of the Super Mario Bros. Yeah, he wasn't even there. He was never shown. And I think the reason why that was because they wanted to stick with one main villain, with Koopa, and it was much,
fine and dandy, but they also included Lackey too.
Yeah, I know.
Only in one episode.
So, yeah.
Now I'm going to have to pull out all these DVD sets and stuff, pop the caffeine and watch all of them.
That's the whole point of Tooncast, is to get people to watch old cartoons. The reception for the Zelda DVDs. IGN rated the DVD release Legend of Zelda a 3.0 or quote-unquote bad, like poor writing, repeated plots, and over-the-top acting. Link's catchphrase, "Excuse me, princess," is commonly used in joke by video game players and is spoken by Link on 29 occasions throughout the 13 episodes.
Can you be over the top on a cartoon based on a video game? Is that possible?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
I even think Jonathan Potts probably looked at the scriptwriters and went, all right, can we kind of change this? I think this gets old.
Well, you have to say the same line 29 times, aren't you?
I mean, I'm sure they fought.
He's like, I'm going to have some fun with this. I'm saying the same line 29 times. I'm
Can we
be
do something different here?
Or you're like looking through it just like, okay, that's good. That's good. That makes sense. What the hell, a water park? What is this?
Yeah, the water park had nothing to do with Zelda.
Sure it did. Oh, was
building it.
Wait, are you talking about in the actual episode, or was there an actual water park somewhere?
No, there wasn't.
Water park.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
In the series.
Well, no, it didn't have anything to do with the actual game, but it was a story plot. I guess they were trying to go for something a little bit different. I don't know. So up next, we are going to talk about The Adventures of Super Mario Bros. 3. This is a good show. I think the first thing we need to get out was the fact that they changed all the Koopa Kids' names. And when I first saw, when I first started playing Super Mario Bros. 3, it was after I'd watched the show. So I'm like, okay, the game's wrong. Actuality, the show's wrong.
Yeah.
You have Cheatsy Koopa, who was supposed to be Larry, Big Mouth Koopa, who was supposed to be Morton, Cootie Pie, who was supposed to be Wendy, Hop, who was supposed to be Iggy, Bully, who was supposed to be Roy, Hip, who was supposed to be Lemmy, and then Kookie Von Koopa, who was supposed to be Ludwig Von Koopa.
Right.
Interesting note for me, I didn't know this. I don't know if any of you guys have watched Transformers Animated. Tara Strong, who does the voice of Sari, she was actually the voice of Hip and Hop. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Another thing about that I didn't know is I didn't realize that the Japanese version of Super Mario Bros. 3, that the Koopa Kids didn't have names.
No, I didn't know that either.
No.
I didn't know that either.
And that's, I guess, why we had this mix-up with the names on the show.
What they could have done was pulled the names out of the Nintendo manual.
They could have.
And just asked Nintendo for permission. I mean, they were already doing the video game series.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. Where are we going to start with Mario? It was actually kind of cool to see the new superpowers animated, like the raccoon leaf and all that stuff. I mean,
yeah, I enjoyed that.
Frog Mario, that was
kind of
cute. Oh, yeah.
I don't think we ever saw Hammer Mario, though.
No,
we didn't.
I don't think we ever
saw
Hammer. Missed it.
We did not see Hammer, and we did not see Tanuki.
Well, Tanuki, Tanuki is just a raccoon suit, but yeah, we didn't see that either.
Yeah, but I liked it when you could turn into a statue and the people would walk by you and they're like, okay, la-di-da.
I just liked it because you could say the word Tanuki a lot.
Yeah.
Tanuki. I liked some of, most cartoons you kind of root for the hero, but most cartoons the villains are more fun, and voice actors even say, and even actors themselves, it's more fun to play the villain. I actually like seeing a lot of the villains in this, like the Thwomp, and the Patooies and stuff like that, because it was just funny the way that stuff happened to them. I remember one episode, Princess Toadstool had...
Hey, Peach.
Yeah, or Daisy, whichever you want to...
Actually, no, Daisy was somebody completely different.
Yeah. Anyway, the there was an episode where she got all like Boomerang Brothers and Fire Brothers and Hammer Brothers to all go against each other so they could escape. And I thought that was pretty cool, seeing all of them fight each other with boomerangs and fireballs and hammers and stuff. So that's not something that you saw.
I don't remember the name of that episode, but if I remember correctly, that was supposed to be Cootie Pie's birthday.
Yes, I could probably look.
I think the other thing, too, besides seeing all those guys, all those different bad guys, I think it was just naturally better for me as a show because of the number of Koopas that were involved. I liked that part both in the game and the show, that it wasn't just one bad guy, that you had all these different people with different personalities and stuff like that. I think that kind of led for a lot more plot opportunities in this show than we had in the previous Mario versions.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't like is that they kind of sort of screwed up the music soundtrack. And I'm not talking about where they, you know, the copyright stuff. I'm talking about some of the music from the game.
Oh, really?
Yes. If you listen to, like, some of the music in Super Mario Bros. 3 and then play the exact same track from the games, they'll play it backwards. And I don't mean, like, reverse it. I mean, they actually get a lot of it wrong.
Yes, while we're on the music of the show, I did yesterday just watch the Milli Vanilli episode, and holy crap. Yeah, they replaced the Milli Vanilli songs with Mega Move. So it actually...
Copyright issues.
I know it's copyright issues, I understand that, but it gives more impact, and probably at the time it did when the show was airing.
Actually, you'd be incorrect about that, because when they originally aired it, they actually had the Milli Vanilli stuff there.
I know, but you didn't know what I was going to say. What I was going to say was, while the show was when the DVDs came out, now that we all know that Milli Vanilli lip-synced half their stuff with the Mega Move, when Shout Factory released the DVD, no one from Deke or Shout Factory went back in and cut the animation of their voices moving. So it gives more impact to the fact that they lip-synced half, if not all, of their songs.
Because I did talk to Brian Ward himself from Shout.
Yes.
They were actually trying, before these DVD sets were released, to get the cartoon, the episode itself,
mm-hmm.
that the original, you know, music and everything was in.
Yeah.
Cootie Pie Rocks, I believe, is the name of that episode. They tried to actually get that, that original episode. And unfortunately, you know, since, you know, one of the members of Milli Vanilli is no longer with us, you know, and that's pretty sad when you've, you know, got to do that. But, you know, hey, I think they were actually trying to do that. And then at the last minute, they said no.
Yeah. Yep.
Almost a green light and they said no.
Yeah, that sucks. I like how they showed all the worlds from the game, though, for the most part, like Darkland and Desertland and Waterland and Giantland and Iceland, and I don't think Skyland was ever seen.
Skyland was not included.
I don't think it was. I know it was mentioned in the special features on the DVD, but I don't actually remember it.
Skyland was never mentioned. Grassland I've seen a few times.
Yeah. I think Grassland ended up just being called the Mushroom Kingdom. And I liked also in the title sequences, after the title itself, when you go into the episode cards, how they would show each map from the game.
Yeah, I like that part too.
Yep.
I remember that. I don't remember a lot about Mario 3, but I do remember seeing a bunch of stuff right out of the game that kind of caught my eye.
Yes.
I don't know about you guys, but for me, the one thing that I remember most about Mario 3 for me was the voice acting for Toad, which was John Stocker. I just loved what he did with Toad. Toad was by far, he just stole the show for me. And like, I could just listen to the stuff that he was doing with Toad, you know, for all day. I loved what he did with him.
Oh, well, yeah.
Of course, too, he was also, you know, in the original Super Mario Brothers Super Show. So
yeah, he was in the original cartoon.
I'm glad they actually kept him. but I really wish they had actually
Super Mario Brothers 3 voice cast.
I really wish they had gotten Captain Lou Albano and Danny Wells to reprise the roles, at least for this series. Because there, I noticed that there were at least, you know, those voices changed. They were no longer there to play Mario and Luigi. And then, of course, Tracy Moore took over the role of Princess Toadstool. And I do not know who the original voice actress was, but there were actually two actresses that played Princess Toadstool in the original Super Mario Brothers Super Show, if you listen very carefully.
And
just like I think Mike had mentioned that he had had a little bit of difficulty adjusting to Captain Lou Albano because he had been used to Walker Boone. And it was just the vice versa for me. I for some reason was used to Lou Albano. That was Mario in my head, so I had the same problem that you're saying that you had adjusting to Walker Boone, actually.
Well, actually, after I heard Walker Boone for quite a while and Tony Rosato, who was the voice of Luigi for Mario 3, you know, I was okay with it. I wasn't mad about it. I mean, I didn't understand why the voices changed, but, you know, I was a kid, too, so I obviously didn't have the internet to look up this information, so.
Yeah. And Genia, I don't know if I'm saying this right.
Elias.
Genia, Elias was the original.
Okay, I did not know. Well, there was also.
Well, it says most episodes.
Another voice actress that was unnamed.
Yeah, because it's not listed anywhere else.
Yeah, it's not listed on the wiki stuff. As far as the voices, I really didn't realize a change at first until even going back and watching them. I didn't realize a change until I actually looked up this information. And then, of course, Dion had to send me the link to see a Tony Rosato going insane story, which we will not be bringing up in this podcast.
God!
This is, speaking of voice actors, we can get back to that in a second.
No, hold on.
Go ahead.
Why? No, because, I mean... No, the only reason why I wanted you to honestly see that link is because after Super Mario World, we heard nothing out of him.
You smug son of a...
There we go.
We heard nothing from him, and we heard nothing from Walker Boone either. You know, after the Mario stuff, that was it.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree with you, but... I understand looking at things that happen to actors that did in series and stuff like that, but I really don't want to see negative stuff half the time.
Because
I remember the first comment I made to you before I even looked at the link, I'm like, oh great, doing Super Mario Brothers and Nintendo drove him nuts.
I thought it was horrible because here's a very good actor
who did
a wonderful voice for a cartoon character and then you see that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of voice actors in Mario 3, we also had some small roles for some pretty famous people. We were talking about a little bit before, but Frank Welker was doing some Goomba and some other creature work. We had Ed Gilbert and Charlie Adler. We had some pretty famous people doing some of the minor roles in Super Mario 3, too.
Oh, yeah.
Plus the narrator, and right now his name escapes me.
Ernie Anderson.
Yeah.
That's it. He passed away in 1997.
Did you know that the Patootie was done by a female?
No.
Louise Valance. I don't know who she is. I don't know who she is, but...
Me neither. I've never heard of her.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Ernie Anderson, I thought, was very good. Of course, he was very famous for ABC.
Right.
You know, ABC and the America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, that's... Okay. Okay, that's... Yeah. Okay,
That's who he is. Well, he actually also did a little parody of the, for something in Animaniacs. I do not remember the episode, but it had to do with Slappy Squirrel, of course. But, you know, at the end of it, he says, so stay tuned for America's Funniest Home Videos. It's just funny. Yeah. It's just something they had him say, but it was funny to hear him do that.
Yes.
So... His son is a movie director now, so...
That's cool. Yeah, overall, I think the Mario 3 series, My actual only complaint between Zelda and Mario 3 was that there was no real ending. Like, the last, and I know I'm going backwards in our episode here, but the last ending for Zelda was the Momblins are revolting, and there was almost an end where Ganon could have almost been defeated, except Link's bumbling stupid ass, you know, decided to showboat, and they could have had the Triforce of Power, but didn't. And then that was it. There was no more. Yeah, I know it was supposed to be continued, but the same thing with Mario 3. I mean, there is no real, you know, finite ending to the series, even though...
I think they should have made Sing for the Unicorn the last episode. God. No, I'll tell you why, okay? Because in the game, The Legend of Zelda, it takes 3 hits for Ganon to be destroyed.
Oh, okay.
When they destroyed Ganon, you see him disappear, and then at the end of the... near the end of the cartoon... you see Ganon in his lair, and I'm like thinking, what the hell? He's supposed to be dead. they got it backwards, so that's why I said I think they should have made Sing for the Unicorn in the series that last episode.
Yes, on the
that's just my thought.
Oh yeah, on the Adventures of Super Mario Bros. 3, the complete series was released June 26th of 2007. And
there are glitches.
Yes, there are many of glitches. But as far as the broadcast history, according to Wiki, I don't know if this is true or not. Other than like the obvious NBC, Family Channel, USA Network, and PAX Network, which were all in the early run, and then in syndication. And then there's,
yeah, because NBC ran it first, and then the rest of them did.
Yes, and then there's the UK stuff, and it lists Japan, TV Tokyo, it says 2009-. So I'm wondering if Mario 3 is running in Japan right now.
It makes you wonder.
Yep, makes you wonder. Do we have anything else to say about the Adventures of Super Mario Bros. 3?
Nope,
yeah, they screwed up the music.
Yes, we said that already.
No, I'm not talking about game now.
Yeah, I know. They put in Mega Move for every other song that was supposed to be in there.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. They really, really screwed it up. I think there could have been more bonus features on this set, though. We only have...
I think what they should have done is had a commentary.
Exactly. Way more bonus features. At least a voice actor thing. You know, having the voice... director person or whoever, I don't even know who the voice director is on this, but you know, the only thing we have is the interactive series writer's Bible, featuring the backstories, characters, concept art, and the quote unquote original music.
Really?
Well, that's what it says in here, but I think it's mostly original music from the series, like Mega Move and stuff like that.
Well, it is Mega Move. There is Mega Move there because I remember hearing that, but there's also some other songs that were used in the cartoon, you know, that the Koopa Kids would sing. But there are a lot of songs that the Koopa Kids sang for the series
that aren't there.
You know, the voice actors and actresses, they left out.
Yep.
They left them out.
Yep. Idiots. So now we are moving on to Captain N, the Game Master. And the first thing I have to say about this that I did...
I have lots of pictures from this show.
stop editing down Princess Lana to make her look like a porn star.
I'm sorry, but why did they use her... Why did they even create a character for her when she's not even in a video game in the first place?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just...
I guess possibly just not to screw with the canon, because then you're like, wait a minute, isn't this video game character supposed to be with this character and not Captain N?
When I saw Lana, I'm like, who? I went through every freaking game to look for a Princess Lana and could not find one. I'm like, no.
Okay, the first thing that I want to bring up...
I just thought I'm sorry. I just that upsets me to no end.
The first thing I want to bring up about this actually goes to voice acting. And before you guys answer this, I just want to say the narrator, which I did not know, is none other than Gary Chalk, who played Optimus Primal in Beast Wars. I did not know that until I looked at this information. He also
did the
voice of King Hippo, Donkey Kong, Count Dracula, Bayou Billy, Malkiel, Mayor Squaresley, and additional voices is what this says.
He did Mayor Squaresley's voice?
Yep.
And I was even trying to listen to King Hippo today and trying to pick out Optimus Primal. I'm like, I can't do it.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Yeah, I can't see that either.
You don't think of Gary Chalk.
No. Uh-uh. I mean, I kind of figured it was him when I was listening to it, but I wasn't really sure. And Ian James Corlett, who did the voice of Cheetor, was Dr. Wily.
Cheetor
is in Beast Wars and Beast Machines.
Oh, okay. That's him,
we had all kinds of Transformers sightings here, because obviously Frank Welker with Game Boy, yep, the voice of Game Boy.
Yep.
So
Frank
we got
Welker
everybody.
Is voice of Game Boy. Also, Venus Tirzoh, who did Black Arachnia in Beast Wars and Beast Machines, played
the voice of Princess Lana.
Yep. Lana Medusa.
And
she also did Kevin's mom's voiceover, too.
Huh.
That's what it says.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Kevin, I thought
to clean up your room.
That's awesome.
I thought this series was really cool because it was. See, I always thought Nintendo did this stuff, even though it was Deke that put it out. I thought Nintendo had a huge, huge impact on this, and they put all of these games together into one cartoon, and I thought that was really cool.
Crossovers kick ass.
Oh yes. Oh yes. I would have to say my two favorites are the Tetris episode and the Zelda episode.
I like both Zelda episodes.
Well, I'm talking about the first one in like the first or second season when Link is jealous
of
Kef,
the potion of power. Season one.
Yeah.
Right, where they meet, where Link and Captain N meet each other.
Yep.
Right.
And also they. In that episode, all of the original Legend of Zelda cartoon voice actors reprised their roles.
Which is
yes,
nice.
They did.
Which is very...
That was very good.
Very nice.
That was very good.
Yes.
There's a lot of
very
things
nice.
About this show that were either really, really good or really, really bad. There was no in-between in this one.
I wasn't too thrilled with Game Boy at first, but I kind of warmed up to him after a while.
Was it just, I don't know, when I watched Game Boy, all I could think of was the Kool-Aid guy busting through walls. I'm like,
I am Game Boy, I am.
Who drew the face on Game Boy?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Fire who drew the face on Game Boy.
Frankly, I don't know a kiss.
Yeah, that ended up pissing me off after a while.
Oh,
I was like, that was
yeah.
cool the first time.
Yeah, the...
Two episodes, like, first time I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know, because Ithacus, but then it's like, okay, you really got to shut up now. You've used it, like, three times in the same sentence.
Yep.
Well, he would say, who cares, Ithacus?
And that's yeah. really Mega Rag!
Oh, God!
Mega Man actually had a little bit of restraint. Like, I didn't hear him use a Mega, well, like, as an adjective that much, but Kid Icarus...
You know, I think when they wrote Kid Icarus's scripts, I think they used the Ithacus line a bit much.
I think yeah. a combination, if you take Game Boy and Mega Man and Kid Icarus, those three have to be about the worst looking heroes, and everything about them was bad in my book. I mean,
no,
I just could not stand
Game
them.
Boy, they drew Game Boy to to a T.
Yeah, I guess
the only thing you're not used to seeing is a Game Boy with a face on it.
A horrible face. A horrible face.
Yes.
But Mega Man, there was not one single part of Mega Man that resembled anything about
Mega
Man.
Here's what made me mad about Captain N, and this is where they should have continued. When Mega Man became human, and he was no longer a robot, they should have at least kept him that way, instead of okay, one episode, he's a human. Now we're going to go back to a robot role.
Yeah, I don't...
They kind of messed that up, I think.
I mean, that's just sort of the thing, though, with, like, non-sequitur shows. Yeah, like, you'll have some sort of transformation, but then you have to, like, transform it back to the status quo, or else someone watches the next episode, it's like, wait, when the hell was Mega Man a real person, not a robot?
Hello, it's animation, you can do anything you want.
I know, but I thought the whole point of these shows was to be somewhat game accurate.
Well, okay, I'll give you that, but then maybe...
Although...
Well, then here's the thought then. maybe that episode should not have been animated. Because, like you said, if you do something where a robot turns into a human, and then you have the rest of the 32 episodes, I think it is, that he's a robot in the first place, why break the concept?
Yeah, that's true. I mean...
And I think they were going back and forth a lot. I mean, we're talking about, you know, being accurate to the video games. And some of the stuff, I mean, that you have making up characters that aren't in video games, which is completely not trying to represent any video game. But then you have some stuff that was just so spot on. Like you're talking about the drawing of Game Boy. The sound effects in this show were...
That was awesome.
Were so... I mean, even when you had the gun being pulled and nothing happening, it actually sounded like the trigger on the actual, whatever you want to call the gun for... the NES system.
That's
because
that's what it was.
Yeah, the Zapper.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying they went to that extent to make it that accurate, but then they're going to invent some character that's not in anything.
Oh, I know.
Well, like... weird, you know, for years I never figured out until I got NSF files how to get a lot of the sound effects. Because here's Simon swinging a whip from Castlevania and, you know, you have all these other different sounds from Castlevania. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, how do you get these sounds? And then you have to you have to substitute sound effects from Bayou Billy. You know? You have to substitute. What I don't understand, and I guess, you know, I know that there was a comic book done, you know, for this, for Captain N as well. They actually, for the comic book, they had trouble trying to get the third-party licensing for Mega Man and Simon. So they used Samus in the comic. Why didn't they do that with the actual animated series?
Because it actually, I haven't watched it in a while, but on the season or the complete series set, it has the Nintendo Powers Captain Nintendo, the 6-page story that started it all. The reason why that I could think of is because you have Captain N, Lana, and the N team to fight Mother Brain and Metroid. That's probably why. They probably didn't want to, other than the fact they couldn't get the rights to Samus for the cartoon, that's maybe
why. Which is very possible.
Which is also maybe why that they put in Lana instead of having Samus there, because they couldn't get the rights and just have them fight Metroid. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, it could possibly, I don't
know. I thought Eggplant Wizard and Simon Belmont were the best comic relief.
Comic relief, yes.
What was the first one you said?
Simon.
Eggplant Wizard.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
I still loved, and we haven't talked about it yet. We talked about a lot of voice actors, but we haven't talked about Mother Brain. To me, that was comic relief right there. That was one of my favorite characters in the whole show.
Yes, but everyone, I don't know if most of you know this, but it was not a female who did that
voice.
Oh, no.
That's a very famous male.
It was a guy.
Levi Stubbs, very famous male from the Four Tops.
Yep.
Right. And he, you know, he...
Little Shop of Horrors.
Right, yeah. And when I found that out, I'm like, that is not true.
Although as a kid, I didn't know that. And as a kid, I was like, that is the scariest sounding woman.
I thought it was a female.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very scary female.
But since he has that range, because he's a tenor, I mean, you know, God rest... I mean, he's, you know, God help him, he now has, you know, cancer. But, yeah, he has cancer now. But when I heard Mother Brain's voice, I'm like, that's a really good sounding female. And then I look it up on Wikipedia, and it's Levi Stubbs Jr.
Yeah, he was just absolutely hilarious.
I thought he was great as the voice of Mother Brain.
Yep.
I like how as the video game show that the brain is the evil one. Ironic.
Yes. Going back to the sound effects, they were accurate in every episode as far as the games. That was probably...
Depends on the episode.
Well, like the Zapper and like with Zelda, the sword and stuff like that, and with Mario, the raccoon, with Mario 3, the raccoon thing, stuff like that. I mean, it was pretty much...
Oh, I thought you were meaning Captain N itself, because those sound effects were hard to get a hold of.
Well, I mean, the Zapper and the Power Pad effects were... Kind of.
Can I mention, though, that there's one area where they should have diverted from the actual names? They shouldn't have called that dang thing the Zapper. There's an episode where he hands the gun to Princess Lana. He's like, here, take my zapper.
You couldn't say, here, take my light gun.
No, but I just took come up with something better than zapper.
In that situation, I don't think you really can.
No.
You know what would have been funny is if they featured Rob the Robot.
Rob, yeah.
The other thing about this that they changed was they did not use Dr. Light. They used him, but they did not use the name Dr. Light. They called him Dr. Wright, which I actually had to do.
The typo in the manual.
Oh, was it really?
Yes, there's an actual error. There's an actual typo in a game.
Oh.
In the Mega Man games. I believe, if I remember correctly, that it came from the Japanese translation for Mega Man.
Oh, okay.
So they kind of screwed up on the name, so they called him Dr. Light. And then in Captain N, they just said, we'll just call you Dr. Wright. So that's what they called him.
Yeah.
They couldn't really figure out what the correct translation was.
Yeah.
So they just changed it to Dr. Wright.
Yeah.
Is it mostly like understood that Dr. Light is obviously American and Dr. Wright is Japan?
I'm not sure.
Is what?
He said is...
Well, he was Dr. Thomas Light, so, I mean, he was named after Thomas Edison.
Oh.
As far as that goes.
Okay.
So, so that was definitely the American part. I don't know about the Wright part being Japanese.
I think Wright is just something they decided to come up with.
Yeah.
On their own.
In the book, was it spelled Wright, the one that you're talking about?
No. I don't know because I can't read print. But
gotcha.
I've never had someone actually tell me, but I do know that it was Dr. Wright. I think it might mention it on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Wow, they actually. I'm looking at the character listing on the wiki information I have. Wombat Man and the Most Dangerous Game Master is inspired by the 1989 Tim Burton Batman film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I wish I were a wombat.
We were talking about sound effects. I think the other good thing that kind of went along with the sound effects was when they shot someone, the pixelation that kind of made it look like a old school video game.
Oh, yeah, where they just evaporated.
Really cool.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, that was
a good effect.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? What else about Captain N?
We haven't mentioned it yet, but I gotta put a shout out to the reference that they made to one of my favorite in television games ever, Burger Time.
Yep.
Even though after they mentioned it and after they were all in their costumes, it stopped being cool because nothing else looked anything like the Burger Time game. But at least them being in those pickle and, you know, costumes, I was like, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to get your game, but oh, crap, Pepper.
Yeah. I'm going to run down the list really quick of what all games were featured in the show. The Adventures of Bayou Billy, Bo Jackson Baseball, Burger Time, California Games, Castlevania 1, 2, and 3, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Foxanadu, Final Fantasy, which I don't remember that episode, whatever. I don't remember a Final Fantasy episode. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it. Kid Icarus, Marble Madness, which there's a side note. In the episode, I Wish I Was a Wombat Man, the studio world of Marbleopolis is structurally inspired by Marble Madness, right down to a giant black marble weapon with which Mother Brain attacks the end team. Also, in earlier episode, the Trojan Dragon, the theme from the first level of Marble Madness can be heard several times.
Yes, it can.
Mega Man 1, 2, and 3, Metroid, Paperboy, Puss in Boots, which was a very, very obscure...
I hated that game so
much. I didn't even know it was a game.
I didn't either.
Oh my God.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Super Mario Brothers, but there's a side note to this. In the first episode, Kevin briefly compares the Ultimate Warp Zone to this game. Many of the sound effects came from this game, such as jumping, and the music for both underground and fortress stages also is featured. Tetris, Wizards and Warriors, and then Zelda and Zelda 2.
I'm trying to think of now the Final Fantasy.
I
really do not honestly remember. Wait a minute, yes I do.
I've got the sets right here.
So do I. It's The Fractured Fantasy of Captain N.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
The Fractured Fantasy of Captain N is when they go into Final Fantasy's realm.
Okay, I think I skipped that episode when I was watching it, or I fell asleep. Oops.
Right. Yeah. And it goes on with a couple other references, because it wasn't just video game references. They had a lot of references to other
Lewis Carroll's
media.
Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland, Indiana Jones, General Hospital, Chronicles of Narnia, yeah. Etc. So.
Well, you also know that they actually did not use Bo Jackson's voice. They used his likeness.
Yes.
But Bo Jackson did not want to be voiced as a character. Hmm. I do believe Larry Bird was the same way.
No, that was Larry, I think. I'm pretty sure it was Larry.
I don't know, because Wikipedia doesn't mention it.
Yeah, it's not in the cast listing, but I mean, the main cast listing that we have is basically the primary characters.
Right, but it does not list whether or not...
It could have been Gary Chalk. I mean, I'd have to go back and look and listen to it, but I'm not really sure. They did use his likeness, though.
Yeah, they didn't use the voice, though. I don't think they used the voice.
As far as the syndication and changes go, oh my god. Captain Anne was syndicated on the Family Channel in 1992, on the U.S. network at some point, and on local affiliates such as WLVI in Boston at 4:30 p.m. weekdays in the fall of 1992 as Captain Anne and the Video Game Masters, a package which included Captain Anne, The Legend of Zelda, The Adventures of Super Mario Bros. 3, and Super Mario World.
Because they had lyrics that repeated themselves, the world of Captain N is here four times, to the actual theme of the second season of Captain N the Game Master.
VGM had its Captain N and the Video Game Masters. VGM had its own theme song, followed by a commercial break, followed by the theme song of whichever series was being shown on that day. Super Shores on Airings. The first season's episodes typically featured current popular music of the day, such as Bob Seger's Shakedown in Kevin and Videoland and Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins and Mega Trouble for Megaland. But when Captain N episodes were aired in the VGM package, these songs were removed and replaced by instrumental version of the Mega Move. Bastards!
See, they were actually talking about trying to get the instrumental tracks for, like, Shakedown and Thriller and other stuff like that.
Now, Thriller was in there, I thought. Let's see.
It was when they originally aired them on TV. It's not in there on the DVD sets.
Oh, that sucks. Let's see what else.
I had read something about... this might be going off topic, but did any of you guys read anything about Mother Brain and where they came up with that name?
No.
Well, she is a character in Metroid, isn't she? Or is it...
Yes, she is. She's the last boss you fight.
Right, but
even from there, though, three. I thought I'd read something about that being a code name that Nintendo used for one of their Japan branches that came up with a lot of the kind of the think tank of Nintendo. Is that
I've read Nintendo's article on Wiki, and I've never seen anything like that.
Oh, okay. I thought I'd read something about Mother Brain being what they referred to as their Japanese offices.
I can look on the internet, but...
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. We should also bring up with the Captain N series, at least with the first two seasons and probably the third season as well, I don't know. The tapes that Deke lent Shout Factory to make the DVD set are clones of NBC Broadcast Masters, which apparently do not lose quality from copy to copy. It is unknown why Deke did not provide its own master tapes. The opening teasers are not included in the DVD set, which sucks.
Which I thought they should have
been. Yes, they should have been. And they are not a part of Shout Factory's deal with Deke. The only teaser on the disc is the one for Kevin in Videoland, featured as a bonus feature on disc one. Let's see what else. I don't know. I understand the whole thing about acquiring rights, like music rights and stuff like that. But if you're not going to be able to release a show as it was originally intended,
then why put it on a DVD?
Exactly. Why?
Because all you're doing is like putting basically the second airing of. You're almost putting a rerun on a DVD, if you want my honest opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Because the second airing would be a rerun.
Yep.
Just the music has been changed.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
Pretty much. That's true. So I think, I'm trying to think here. Let's see. I'll put the captain in, set aside. I don't understand why they...
Speaking of Captain, and I'm looking at a picture of Kid Icarus on my desktop.
God.
That's awesome, Icarus.
Shut the hell up, Icarus.
That's cool, Icarus.
Whoa,
Icarus.
Yeah, really.
Calm down, Icarus.
I have to say, outside of that, the most annoying thing for me in Captain N was Simon. I hated Simon. Simon,
yeah,
the fucking
you know what? They based his look off his voice actor.
No, I
yeah,
know, right. No, I know that, but I'm saying the character.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He was a.
Yeah, and basically completely inaccurate.
Yeah, pretty much.
See, that's like the one problem I sort of had a little bit with Captain is that a lot of the characters, of course, they were inaccurate, and they sort of fit like certain like cartoon tropes you saw, like. You know, Simon was sort of like the arrogant hero or whatever. It was just like,
Yeah. I thought having both Mega Man and Kid Icarus as kind of these little sidekicks was somewhat of an overkill at some points.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay, that they both had their catchphrase. God.
Okay, Icarus, yes, that does get annoying, but I will say they at least gave Mega Man a break on the Mega.
Yeah,
his wasn't that bad. Mega Man was actually pretty decent.
Yeah,
I think the like you were kind
although of. Although I would have loved to actually sit and listen to Captain N in different languages, just to see what they would do, you know, just to hear what they'd sound like in different languages.
I think Dion was alluding it to it earlier, though. I think the villains in this show were definitely what got you watching. I think the villains kind of stole the show almost every time. He talking
Some
about
of the villains
know.
Had comic relief.
Oh, yeah. But I remember a scene
especially
between
Mother Brain and Eggplant Wizard.
Yes.
I remember a scene between those two, and I love the quote, Mother Brain. It's so simple. He's just looking at Eggplant, you incompetent vegetable. Just like, that's an awesome line.
What I actually thought was kind of funny was, you know, Eggplant calling Mother Brain your wrinkledness. You see her tentacles shoot out, give him a shock, and she's like, don't ever say the word wrinkles around me. These are beauty lines.
And the best little Shop of Horrors voice.
Every time I see that episode, that just makes me laugh out loud.
They really played up Eggplant Wizard to the point where he was just, of course, he is a giant vegetable, but, you know, every time that he would get...
Making an idiot.
Well, what I'm talking about is his visual appearance as far as every time that King Hippo would land on him or a giant rock would land on him, all these other vegetables would pop out of his...
He had an unlimited supply of vegetables.
Yes.
There was always more to fall out.
You know what? I bet this is why kids don't eat their vegetables right today.
Because they were told they were incompetent vegetables.
Yeah.
The only thing that really makes me mad about the DVD sets is, and I understand that Captain N and Super Mario World was part of that block, but why didn't they just put Season 3 in with the complete series? I don't understand how you can...
You know what? That was my question, too.
I don't understand how you can release a set that says Captain N the Game Master, the complete series...
And then have Super Mario World on, like, a 3-disc set like they did Zelda.
Exactly. I mean, I don't understand why it says Captain N the Game Master, the complete series, and then... Like 3 months down the line, it's Captain N in the new Super Mario World with the Captain N Season 3 on it.
But remember in Season 3, I mean, they had some horrible they had horrible animation then.
Yeah, Season 3 was horrible.
Season 3 was bad.
Season 3, Kevin did not look... I know it's 2D animation.
He still had the red jacket.
I'm talking about the zapper and the power pad.
The end was darker, the power pad was darker, the zapper was darker.
Yeah. Well, the zapper actually was a Nintendo re-release, I believe. When Nintendo started getting into all the different colors, it was a different color zapper.
Well, there were three different colors. There was the original where it was all gray.
Yep.
Right. The red.
And then they did the red, you know, red and gray. And the reason that they did that was because they didn't want it looking like a real gun. You know, parents would actually freaked out.
Back when parents cared.
Yeah, and then they did like an orange and gray.
Yeah.
Type zapper. So,
I'm surprised they didn't put an orange cap on it.
Yeah. Make it bright purple.
Oh God!
You reminded me of something.
It's Barney the Dinosaur Zapper.
You reminded me of the power pad or the control pad that was on his belt. I don't know if this bugged any of you guys, but it bugged me to all ends that whenever he said that he was going to hit pause, he always hit select.
Because because some games back then did use the select as the pause key.
It just seems like it was backwards, though, when you're making the show. I mean, yeah, there were some games that did that, but the majority of games start to pause.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think a lot of the animators played Nintendo, to be very honest. Yeah.
Because every time they probably, I'm like, you're not pausing it.
They probably didn't know that in a lot of games, start is pause.
Yeah.
I have a question I just thought of. I'm sorry, Todd, but while I'm thinking of this, I got to get it out. Where the hell did he get power for his power pad? Every time the thing would get wet or whatever, it would drain the power. Where the hell did he get the recharge for it?
Game Boy, probably.
Even before Game Boy came in, the same thing.
There is that. Yeah, I've wondered that question myself because in episode 13, Happy Birthday, Mega Man, you know, when they were in that whirlpool and Lana says, Kevin, try your pause button, and he tries it, it doesn't respond. And he says that the power pad is shorted out.
And it,
and didn't wasn't there an episode where the zapper was also without power?
Yes. Yes.
Right in the beginning, because he clicks it and it's just a trigger.
Oh, what is it? Well, let's see.
I forget what his reasoning was.
The first one where they actually get to Mother Brain.
Yeah.
He tries to zap Mother Brain and it doesn't work. And then in the second episode, How's Bayou.
And I know which one I was thinking of. The first one with Game Boy in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The first one with Game Boy in it, he goes to hit his zapper, and it's just a trigger sound with nothing. But I thought he mentioned something about power in that one, too.
Well, the other thing is it had a power
indicator.
Well,
he gets a charge from Game Boy in the Paperboy episode.
Yeah. I mean, I can see Game Boy being able to charge him up, and that's fine. But what about before Game Boy was even there? It does make you wonder. Plus the fact that it actually showed, he even said this pause isn't going to last very long, and it even shows at the top of the power pad thing. It shows a power countdown meter, like from green to red.
Yeah, when they are actually thrown into the warp zone of forgetfulness.
Yes.
Because if he doesn't hit the pause button at the exact second, they would have landed in the canyon.
Yes, they would have. So do we have anything else to say about Captain N?
I just have one little question. Was Captain N, was that in-house or was that outsourced?
What do you mean?
Like, because you were asking about the quality drop in season 3. Was that a done here in America, or was that outsourced to like Korea or any place?
I think it was.
I do not know.
I don't know either. Let me.
I think it was done here in the U.S. and then.
Let's see, let me look. You guys talk amongst yourselves about it. let me look it up.
Well, I think it was done here in the U.S. because I've never heard of any other animation studio taking.
I think early on there was some interaction between America and Japan on some of the stuff, but I could be wrong.
Well, here's the thing. Since we're talking about all these Nintendo series, the people in Japan do not recognize, they will not recognize that these were made into cartoons.
Hmm.
They will not. I don't know why. It's apparently the game creators
showed in Tokyo in 2009.
the game creators, you know, they're just...
Yeah.
They're apparently appalled that these were even turned into cartoons.
Hmm.
So
I don't see why. They're probably getting a cut of the damn profits, you bastards.
I'm sure they are, but they were not thrilled when these were turned into animated series.
I was surprised to see that a couple of these, like you had mentioned, like the one that's shown in Tokyo in 2009, there was another one of these series that's listed as playing in Mexico in 2009 to 2010, too. So I'm surprised that some of these are still being, you know, ran all the way up in 2009 still.
Yeah, I heard years ago
that Boomerang, the Cartoon Network sister station Boomerang, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. was actually going to air a lot of the Nintendo cartoons.
They were. Boomerang was actually going to air a lot of stuff. And I know last year they were in Boomerang in Australia, whatever it is called, the Boomerang-type channel over there, they were running last year He-Man and She-Ra in Australia. That, granted, that's not here in the U.S., but...
Right.
I'm sure eventually they'll come around to it.
Cartoon Network was also going to air, and I found this really dumb, but they have a show called Adult Swim, and they were actually going to air a lot of these cartoons at night, which I don't see why, because they're not violent.
Yeah, I don't know.
True.
I'm not too
sure. True, but they would hit the age range that's going to be up at that time that would remember the shows.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There's that, too. So
I'm not too.
But I agree with you. It's not violent at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's video game violence. I mean, hell, you even said, Kevin, they pixelated the kills. It's not like Mother Brain has blood coming out of her little jar there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but right now, just me going off on a little tangent, I'm not fucking happy with Cartoon Network right now.
I have never been happy with Cartoon Network.
Yeah, but
Cartoon Network has changed in at least the last 5 or 6 or 7 years.
Well,
yeah.
Get ready for this. They are starting Cartoon Network Real. They are putting real shows, like kind of like, you know, Clarissa Explains It All type, or, you know, Are You...
Or Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's called Cartoon Network.
I know. How the hell can you have Cartoon Network? How the hell can you have a name called Cartoon Network with live action shows on it? With not, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Call it Cartoon Network without cartoons.
So I think we're done with Captain N, unless you guys have anything else to add.
The only other thing that I wish had gotten better was season 3 with the animation. I think they could have done a season 4. I think there could have been more video games explored than what were done in that series.
Except that they were never going to be given the chance to do a season 4 by the networks.
No, but even if it were just a separate DVD release, like a bonus deal, you know, that's fine. But I think that should have been a plus, because there, I mean, like you said, yes, there was a Burger Time. They mentioned that, you know, they did that one time. They've been in Final Fantasy once. They've been in Castlevania I don't know how many times.
Tons.
You know, I think they could have at least done Metroid more than they did. I mean, actually maybe interacting with Samus a couple of times.
What they could have done was, with 1992 and the release of the Super Nintendo, they could have had the Super N team and just had them go into all the Super Nintendo worlds. Go in, sure. You know, become 16-bit instead of 8-bit.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
Yep.
That would have been interesting to see.
Would have been very interesting. Well, actually, they kind of did, but they didn't. With Super Mario World, which is the last show that we're going to talk about tonight.
Smooth transition.
Yes. yeah. Shut the hell up.
I thought I was going to get a sound effect on that one.
So, Super Mario World. It has the series centered around Mario, Luigi, Princess Toadstool, now living in Dinosaur Island, sometimes called Dinosaur World, with Yoshi. So Toad is nowhere to be seen in this series.
Ooh, sorry.
That made me mad.
Actually, Oogtar replaced Toad.
Ooh, sorry.
Oogtar is voiced by the same person who did.
Yes.
Although Yoshi, I gotta give credit to Yoshi, since obviously that's again going to be Frank Welker doing some of the spots for that, I believe, if I'm not.
It doesn't. What? No.
He did Yoshi in something. He did Yoshi
in
one.
It's Andy Sebastian that does Yoshi.
I got to figure out where he did Yoshi then, because he's listed under his credits on IMDb as doing Yoshi somewhere, and I figured it
probably in one of the. It's probably in a game. It could be in a game. I'm not sure.
Makes sense.
But Walker Boone, Tony Rosato reprise their roles as Mario and Luigi. Tracy Moore reprises her role as Toadstool. John Stocker plays Ooktar, Magi Cooper, Monty Mole, and the Charging Chuck. I don't even remember seeing the Charging Chuck.
I do.
Oh, okay.
They call them like football Koopas or something.
Okay,
like
yeah.
That.
Yes, I remember that now. Wow, I guess I didn't watch enough of Super Mario World before we recorded this, because I don't remember the Koopa kids even being in here. I know they are, because I'm looking at the voice list with it listing all the Koopa kids and stuff. I gotta say with this, I guess you could call it an upgrade from Mario 3, because obviously it is. The feather, the cape looked awesome.
Yeah, it did.
They animated that very, very well. That transitioned very well from the game to the animation.
And they got all the sound effects.
Yes, they did, very much so.
And a lot of the game, I just liked all as accurate as it was to the game, especially with Yoshi. I thought there was a lot of stuff they did with Yoshi that was spot on.
And they actually have to...
I just found it funny that Yoshi would just about eat anything in sight.
Well, just like the game.
Yeah, it's just like the game, pretty much.
I like the one part where he eats, like, whatever they are. I forget the little ones that have the red kind
berries?
Of body segments.
The apples.
The ones, the little, like, crawling caterpillars that have, like, six red circles.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He eats, like, six of them in a row, and he's, like, laying on the ground with his stomach all bloated.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Yeah. And as far as, I know we're kind of skipping around on this, but I'm kind of, like, skipping around the notes since this is the last show. Todd, I think it was you that mentioned, or it might have been you, Joanne, I don't remember. Or Dion, sorry, shit, my bad. Shut up.
It's all right.
Yeah, whatever. It is running, Super Mario World, according to Wiki, is running in Mexico on Toon Disney. It says 2009 to present. So, I don't know.
That's a switch.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
How does Disney get a hold of a Nintendo cartoon and... All righty.
Yeah,
then.
I don't know. I'm going to kind of go over the differences between the series and the game. The show, very interesting, actually. The show takes place in Dinosaur World, where Yoshi lives with a pre-adolescent caveman named Ooktar. In addition, Yoshi's Island is depopulated with cavemen instead of Yoshi's. Several names were changed from the game as well. Forest of Illusion was called Enchanted Forest. The Vanilla Dome was referred to as the Lava Pits. Furthermore, enemies featured in the game were rarely called by their in-game names on the show, and Bowser was called King Koopa. He also had his all-green appearance from the first cartoon. Mario, Luigi, and the Princess all retained their original NES designs as well. Red and green overalls for Mario and Luigi, and red hair for the Princess. I was actually going back and playing Super Mario World on my Super Nintendo because... I refuse to support Nintendo past the Super Nintendo generation. Nintendo sucks nowadays. Anyway.
Well,
I was actually going back and playing the game and watching the show, and it's amazing.
I will just say this right now, since you stop supporting Nintendo if your Super Nintendo breaks your SOL.
That's okay.
So there. I have Nintendo Wii, and I can download it.
True.
I don't need it in cartridge form.
It's actually very, very surprising how game accurate the show is. I mean, Super Mario World has to be the most game accurate out of the entire Nintendo cartoons.
Yeah, but they screwed up in a lot of areas.
Okay. Well, since you seem to know more than I do about the screw ups, go ahead.
No, I'm okay. Super Mario World, yes, they were accurate about the game, and they were accurate about a lot of what you saw. What they are not accurate about, what they actually should have done, is kept the Yoshis.
True.
Instead of cavemen. Yes, I understand it's supposed to be a cave, you know, back in the caveman days or whatever. Where in the hell do you see Uktar freaking game? Where do you see that bovine banana yellow-haired idiot?
but see, the thing is, though, they couldn't have.
I mean, I know it's supposed to be a kids' cartoon.
See him in the Enchanted Forest.
Yeah, really.
No,
that doesn't exist in the game.
I understand that this is supposed to be a kids' cartoon, but then when they go and play the game and they look for Uktar, they're going to be sadly disappointed.
Oh yeah. Well, the only reason why I can think of, see, the reason why the cavemen are there is if they weren't, you wouldn't have an episode like the wheel thing. Where Mario...
You just have a bunch of Yoshis driving all of them.
And that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
I will say I think that they got the clown in Sending the Clown very accurate. That was kind of cool. But they actually screwed up when, you know, Mario picks up the first Mecha Koopa to throw it at Bowser's head. It's supposed to... It actually is supposed to hit him in the head, but they got it half and half. They got it half hitting his head and half missing.
Yeah.
So they're actually, you know, they kind of missed that part. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're only supposed to be able to stun the Mecha Koopas for 5 seconds. Sorry, but 10 seconds doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Deke, for screwing up my classic gaming. You shall now die.
Yeah. This show is so short, I really don't have a lot of things else to say about it.
Thank God they kept the original music.
Yes, yes, that's true.
Ugh. I would have been very, very mad.
Yes.
If I'd heard Mega Move in one more cartoon.
But just to beat a dead horse here, I mean, this show was short because of the bastards at NBC and their anti-cartoon crap that they brought
on. No, it wasn't really. You know what? It really wasn't NBC. It was parents writing in.
Well, but NBC caved into them, and screw you,
NBC.
Yeah,
NBC caved into them, and I didn't think it was fair.
How do you end Saturday morning cartoons, you bastards?
Yeah, I mean, okay, I was like 14 or 15, but I didn't care. I love cartoons to this day.
And this show, unfortunately, came out right when that axe came down. So it was,
I know,
like,
and I don't think it was right. I think they could have at least told them, look, if you don't want to watch it, that's fine, but we're doing this for the kids.
Right, and we kind of had a whole timeline here. We've gone from 1989, where the video games just really started to take off, and then the axe comes down by NBC, and that's basically what ends it all for them.
Well, I think what really, I mean, I'll just go ahead and say it. No, NBC still sucks. So, but no, seriously, I mean, here you've got kids, you know, flipping on the TV, and they see news, and they're like, where's the cartoons?
Yes.
And even if it was kids programming, it shifted to live-action kids programming.
And then the parents have to sit there and go, well, we wrote a letter to the lovely TV station because we think you're sitting in front of the TV watching too much of it.
Thank you for taking cartoons and giving us California Dreams, you bastard.
I think what they I'm going to go backwards a bit. I think what they should have done with Captain and the Game Master is shown some of the Japan the Japan games, and given them a bit of a U.S., you know, some U.S. exposure.
But the other thing, the problem with that would be some Japan games don't translate well, just like some stuff here does not translate well into other foreign languages.
No.
So that could have been the issue there. On a whole, just kind of like going overall, and why is my screen moving?
because it likes you.
Whoa. No, I think Car's infecting it. Anyway, that's a Knight Rider reference, folks.
Oh, that's ill. That's evil.
Just overall, kind of recapping what we've discussed today. I do love these shows. I think it's great.
I think they're great. I'm glad that they're out on DVD.
Yeah, I do too.
I do wish that they had, fixed a lot of the screw ups. But hey, what are you going to do when they are not? And I will say it, they are not the original Master.
No, they're not.
They're clones. But see, then again, you have over 15 to 20 years of Masters sitting on a shelf.
Yeah.
And over time, I think over time they do lose quality.
Yep. Oh, probably so. Unless you go in to remaster them, but I seriously doubt anybody was going in.
I actually asked Brian, I said, why can't somebody find the original Masters of these shows? Somebody's got them somewhere.
NBC.
even if NBC still had them, they'll never share them with Shout.
No.
Shout will come to the rescue. At some point, Shout will do it.
Oh, that'd be funny if they released them, re-released them within, maybe a year or two's time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well...
Will I get them? Probably, just to say I have them.
And again, going with Shout, and this is totally off the topic of the episode today, but, look what Shout just acquired from Hasbro, the Transformers rights.
Yeah.
They're putting out a complete series of G1. I'm getting the complete series just to have it. Yeah, I spent God knows how much money on eBay for the Rhino sets, but I'm still going to get the re-release.
They finally got the rights to Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, they got rights to Hasbro.
Yeah, Joe, yeah, my little pony.
Hasbro last year reacquired, I think, a good 45 to 50% of their library from some place, from some company in Australia. They spent like $7.5 billion or something to reacquire the rights to their stuff. So since we're kind of going into a giant rat hole... I think we're gonna end this. I'm gonna go through and just pretty much tell everybody what's coming up on TuneCast. The next episode will air Friday, July 13th. No, Saturday. Hell, I don't know. It's July 3rd, June 13th, not July. This isn't July. Shit. Anyway, fuck.
We're losing Shut control.
Okay, episode 2 will be Animaniacs. It will air June 13th.
Yay!
June 13th, 2009. Todd, if you are on vacation then, we will figure out a way before you leave to get it recorded.
I love Animaniacs.
If not... Go ahead, Todd.
It shouldn't be too bad because it's airing on June 13th. We leave June 8th. So if it's any time before that, like a week before that,
we can
be
record
fine.
Whenever, or I can.
I love Animaniacs. It's a great
So, yeah.
A lot of people didn't understand it.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't. So, all right. Well, let's see. Going into a closing. This has been the first episode of TuneCast where we discuss the Nintendo cartoons. You can eventually download this through iTunes, or you can get it from www.geekcastradio.com, which unfortunately is not a visually impaired helpful site, unfortunately. I'm sorry, but I will give you the link for the RSS feed. But anyway, I have been... Yeah.
Hey, Mike. Oh, sorry, just before we close, just because I found this bit of sort of news, and it really, at any other time, it probably wouldn't be proper, so I just want to say this right now. Dom DeLuise recently died on May 4th, 2009.
Yes.
He did... If you guys are familiar with him, he's basically like the voice child for Don Bluth in all of his animations. He did stuff like The Secret of Nim, American Tail, Oliver and Company, and a bunch of other movies, All Dogs Go to Heaven. And also he did some films too with Burt Reynolds, like Run Cannonball Run and A Little Whorehouse in Texas. And just because he died recently, and I want just to get out as early as possible.
Yeah, Dom DeLuise was an awesome comedian. He was an awesome actor.
Yes,
actually, his son, Michael DeLuise, was a had a starring role in Sequest DSV season 2, and Dom actually appears in an episode of that show as a guest star to portray Michael's character's father. So yeah, rest in peace, Dom. There's a lot of actors dying, actors, actresses, famous people dying recently.
Mm-hmm. Well, Arthur B. from The Golden Girls, she passed
away. You mean
away.
B. Arthur? There's a big Arthur, difference. Yeah.
Well, whatever. All right, I don't look at the names. All right, I don't look at the name. I just know the name. It's one of those names. Get it right, and she passed away. You know, she passed away this year. You know, and I mean they're. You don't really – a lot of the shows that, you know, I mean, this is a completely different topic from what we've discussed tonight, but there's just a lot – like you said, Mike, there's a lot of, you know, actors, or there have been a lot of actresses or actors that have passed on that, you know.
And that's part of what, you know, Tooncast is kind of all about, is going back and looking.
I'm surprised Peter Cullen is
still
living. Oh,
don't even go there. Just don't even go there because this is going to –
Cut his mic. Cut his mic.
No. I mean,
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, this has been Tooncast episode 1. I have Mike FG1 podcast with
Kevin Thompson,
Todd,
and Dion.
Yes. And on that note, with Dion's closing, I am going to play this. No, that's totally off topic, but anyway, I just had to throw it in.
I still say Stu Phillips' version is better.
So
that's something we'll have to discuss later.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat your ass.
We've already discussed it at length.
Yeah, well,
so
you,
anyway,
still need it beaten. You still need a submission into your head.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, this is going to close out this very much rat-holed episode of Tooncast, episode 1.
Hey, it was fun, though.
You can find us, pretty much all of us, on Twitter. Mine, actually, you can go to mine and find all the websites. Mine is TFG1 Podcast. What's yours, Kevin?
If I could think of it, I would be good. I think you can find it under Boss K-Dog.
I think it's Boss K-Dog, yeah.
Boss K-Dog.
Yeah, and yours, Todd?
Geek of Todd, GeekOfTodd.
Yeah, we know how to spell, thank you. We went to school.
Hey, some of them have one D. Some Todds have one D. So
I've never seen a Todd with one D.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
And some Dions are spelled D-U-I-H-N.
Shut up. All right, and what is yours, Dion?
My Twitter is TheMusicMan. Most people would spell it T-H-A, but it is not. TheMusicMan08.
Yes.
And so you guys can follow me there, and I'm sure I will probably get lots of tweets and people requesting me. Just so long, for those of you who do add me, please tell me how you got my Twitter, so that way I don't delete your request and go, who the hell are you? Because I will do that. No, I will do that. If you do not tell me how you got the information, I'm just very cautious about that, because I don't like adding people I don't know.
Yes.
Unless I know who you are and how you got the info. So it's you know, but Mike, thanks for having me on, first of all. It's been a blast.
No problem. And I think we're gonna close this out. Unfortunately, I don't have any other sound effects added. I think we're gonna close this out with
you smug son of a.
And this has been Tooncast, episode 1. Good night, folks.
Good night.
You have just listened to Tooncast, episode 1. And in it, we discuss the Nintendo cartoons, of course. By this time, you already know that. This is the closing. We didn't exactly do a correct closing when we recorded the episode, so I'm going to do it here. My name is Michael Blanchard, Mike TFG1 Blanchard, with GeekCast Radio. The website is www.geekcastradio.com, where you can get all your podcasting needs from us there. You can follow myself on Twitter at TFG1 Podcast. You can also follow the other Twitter accounts we have as Geekcast Radio, Beast Unleashed, and GCRN Tooncast. You can also follow my friend and Geekcast Radio Network co-founder, Stephen C. Phillips. His is at SCP21. My co-hosts for Tooncast, Kevin and Todd, you can follow them as well on Twitter. It's Boss K Dog for Kevin and Geek of Todd for Todd. It's two D's on the Todd. So, yeah, that was episode one with a special guest, Dion Walker, my buddy, my Knight Rider buddy. So, yeah, I really had a lot of fun. And up next is episode two, which will be The Animaniacs, coming June 13th, 2009.
Do the Mario! Swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario! Take one step. And then again, let's do the Mario all together now. You got it. It's the Mario. Do the Mario. Swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario. Take one step. And then again, let's do the Mario all together now. Come on now, just like that.
To clean up your room. Whoa!
Captain N, the Game Master.